SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
The Australian landmark musical The Sunshine Club is returning to Sydney with a cast of emerging and acclaimed First Nations artists. And I'm glad to say I'm joined by Wesley Enoch, author and director of The Sunshine Club, to give us some insights into the hit musical and also the significance of its return to Sydney. Wesley, welcome to NITV Radio.
Thanks, Bertrand.
Now, can you share with us the inspiration behind The Sunshine Club and what motivated you to bring this story back to the stage in Sydney?
Well, it's interesting to go back and understand the history of why it was written. So it was written in the late 90s at the height of the reconciliation movement. And there was a sense of saying the country was ready to talk about how black and white can be together. I mean, the story of the Sunshine Club is about Frank, who comes back from World War II and he sets up his own dance club because he's not allowed to go into the segregated clubs, you know, like the, what became the RSL and other dance clubs that were around, that as an Aboriginal man, he couldn't be part of that because of, racism. And so what he did is he sets up his own club called the Sunshine Club. And these are based on real clubs that were around in World War II and post-World War II. In many ways, they were the beginning of what became a political movement that turned into Fakatsi, that then turned into the campaign for the 1967 referendum. Now, all the way forward to 2023, and we have the referendum around The Voice. And there was a conversation then about saying, actually, where have we come from? What is it that, why are we trying to have these spaces, these places where we can have our own voice? It was great to put the Sunshine Club on again, because it was really about saying, how are we intertwined? How do we, as a country, have this history together, black and white? And the Sunshine Club represents this mythical place, if you like, this magical place where black and white can be together and racism doesn't enter into it. And so it's been great. The show's been touring the country, and it's great to come back to Sydney, because the last time it was in Sydney was in the year 2000. And it was fantastic to be here. And we've come to close to the inner city of Sydney. We've come to French's Forest and at Glen Street and other places. But to come and do a good long run at the Coliseum is going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun indeed.
Yeah, I'll come to that, the Coliseum in Western Sydney, one of the really new emerging place of a celebration of culture and so on. Coming back to the themes that you explore with the story of Frank Doe, the themes of identity, resilience and hope, do you think these themes still resonate with audiences today?
What I've loved is that audiences still want to feel hopeful. You know, and the joy of having a musical is it's by its very nature hopeful. It's like people singing as a sense of celebration. Often we can get down, really down. I think post-referendum last year, a lot of my friends and family were going, oh, what does this mean? You know, what does it mean politically? What does it mean socially? What does it mean culturally? And there was a real sense of kind of pessimism. And then when people go to a musical like The Sunshine Club, you realize that optimism has its place. It's not the only thing that can be done. A musical, a play, is not the end goal. The end goal is for people to have action, to make change. But I've got a sense that there was a inherent optimism in the show that people felt filled up. And I was talking to a friend recently, and she said, you need to fill your cup. You need to not just keep giving, 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 pouring out. And pessimism can do that. You feel like you've got no control. You feel like you've got no way of changing the world. And optimism gives you at least the energy to go out there and say, actually, I can make a difference. And what's great about the themes of the Sunshine Club is about social cohesion, people coming together, socializing, people singing and dancing together, and having a kind of cultural connection. And ultimately, if there's anything that a First Nations artist, as I am, has to teach, is that culture, putting culture in the center of every discussion, actually helps us all understand each other, helps us grow together. And literally and figuratively, how we can dance together on a dance floor that is made for us, that has a space for us. So yes, maybe I'm kind of too optimistic or too naive about these things, but I think that what I want for Australia is to feel optimistic about the future, and with that optimism, have an energy that we can go, actually, we can change things. Because we all know that fear doesn't change anything. Fear keeps things exactly the way it is. If you are scared of another person or something changing or something happening, if you are scared, you only want to hold on to what you've got. If you are optimistic, you can realize that you can pick up something new, let go of something old, try something different. And that's what I think we need to do as a country, is feel so optimistic through our arts that we can see things not through the lens of fear and difference, but see something as a possibility as a nation growing together.
Yeah, and using a musical is, I think, the perfect vehicle to bring people together and dance and song and all that. It's one of the best ways, actually, to connect people.
Agreed. And, you know, when you sit in the audience, and I've seen the show now in, you know, regional towns and bigger towns and cities and things, and when the audience laughs together, when they clap together, when they stand up and give a standing ovation because they feel filled up, you get a sense of going, yep, this community can do anything. That's what I love about Western Sydney in particular, that there's lots of energies that can pull you apart, but the joy of coming together, and I think that's what I want the show to bring to, when it comes to the Coliseum, a real sense of community bonding through this story. No matter what your cultural background, actually understanding the First Nations story of this country is a foundation, is a fundamental that I think every person who has either migrated here in the last 2 years or the last 200 years, they need to understand the First Nations narrative, the First Nations story of this country, so that we can actually build a stronger country together.
Yeah, and a First Nations story told by First Nations people, not told by anyone else. That's
yes, indeed.
Very, very important. And this brings us to the cast, because the Sunshine Club features a diverse cast of emerging and established First Nations artists. Can you tell us about the importance of representation and inclusion in casting for this production?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things, you've alluded to it already, in the past, often First Nations stories were told by non-First Nations people, people who had access to the means of production, to the means of making stories, those non-Indigenous people who said, this is a very important story, it needs to be told, and grateful for that, because it, you know, opened up the doors. And then First Nations people coming in and us making our own stories, and, you know, especially in the film industry, when you see the diversity that's possible when First Nations people create their own shows, it's extraordinary, TV shows as well as large screen movies and things. And there's something about representation that means that when it was the non-Indigenous people telling our stories, there was a very one-sided kind of view. It was the only view that we would give to the public that non-Indigenous people would take. But when you let us get in the middle of it, we show a diversity of perspectives. It's wonderful to watch Roxanne McDonald, who is a stalwart of Aboriginal theatre. You know, I won't give away her age, but, you know, she's old enough to have been working for over 30 years. Wow. As an actor, and consistently being an actor, and watching her with her maturity on stage play Auntie Faith. And it's not just here's the old auntie housekeeper, you know, from the 1940s, kind of, you know, keeping it all together and, you know, heart of gold. You also see a side of her which goes, don't rock the boat, don't change the world. This is, you know, we fought for this. And you get a sense of the intergenerational issues that happen as well. I've seen even today, me in my 50s, you know, younger generations want to do things very differently. And it's fascinating to watch this intergenerational conversation happen about going, should we just be happy with what the older generation have fought for and achieved, or do we have to keep fighting for something new and different? And I love putting that into the play too, because often as First Nations Australians, we have to give a united front. We have to say we are all the same, we are all equal, we all believe the same. And in the last few years, and even the Voice referendum showed this as well, there is diversity in our community, and that diversity is a real strength. And putting that strength on stage is quite invigorating, quite, you know, shocking sometimes too. People go, oh, you can't do that, you can't say that. But in fact, it represents a much more diverse community, that we are not one just big homogenous group called, you know, First Nations Australians, Aboriginal Australians, Torres Strait Islander Australians, that we are in fact incredibly diverse. And on stage too, there are experienced people like Roxanne McDonald, and, you know, and watching Garrett Lyon, who plays Frank Doyle, absolutely knock it out of the park. He is extraordinary. He was on The Voice recently, I think last year, as a contestant. And you listen to him sing and you go, man, you're fantastic. And then his acting on top of that, he absolutely breaks my heart every time we see that. Well, I won't give away the ending, but where he goes emotionally on stage. And, you know, he's in his 20s. He's really making a name for himself. And that's fabulous to watch, you know, someone as experienced as Roxanne McDonald and as amazing as Garrett Lyons up there as well. And then people might, there are other people in the chorus who are just starting, you know, Jade and Alex, who are in the, let's call them the chorus. And they, you know, recent graduates or just early in their career. And I love this idea of giving people their first gig or giving people an opportunity or, you know, I love, as someone who has been working in the in theatre for, you know, a long time, you know, over 35 years, this idea of going, how do you make sure people have careers? You know, I watch Elaine Crombie and Ursula Jovich, Deborah Malaman, Wayne Blair. These people who you work with when they're younger go on to make incredible contributions. And so that's what I watch on stage, these amazing actors who are First Nations, really brilliant people, kind of getting up there and doing it. And, you know, Taya Maki is extraordinary as Pearl. And she comes from the Broome, you know, the Pigram family, who are incredible musicians. And watching this next generation of her family really take off, you go, amazing, absolutely amazing.
Coming back to the music side, the musical comprises 28 songs composed by Johnny Rogers.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the creative process behind selecting and integrating this music into the story?
Yeah, it was interesting because when we were writing the piece, I was 28 when I first wrote this musical, and John Rogers is not that much older than me. And we said, well, what's the music of the period? So we're talking about the late 1940s, early 1950s.
Yeah.
And we went through and did a lot of research around, you know, movie musicals of the period, stage musicals, popular music, and also the theatrical music of, say, post-World War II Germany and things like that, the jazz and kind of Kurt Weill, Brecht. And so there's a lot of different musical influences, but they're all based on that period of time. So there's wonderful ballads which have beautiful rhyming couplets and have a lovely structure, like, well, like a beautiful period song of the day, which would have been a popular thing playing on the radio, and all the way through to a very avant-garde jazz-based, very high atonal moments at times, which was part of that kind of Kurt Weill influence. And so the music is both toe-tapping and exciting and wonderful dancing, and then we add these lyrics. And because it's based in Brisbane, the show, where I come from, there's one song called Dancing Up a Storm, where everyone's getting very antsy and they're kind of, oh, they're about to have a fight, and old Auntie Faith comes in and says, you lot, you know, you better calm down. And she almost conjures up lightning and thunder. And they go, oh, that's what we need, a bit of a storm to calm things down. And they do this song called Dancing Up a Storm, where some wonderful lyrics which go, you know, listen to the thunder from the Gabba out to Nunda, and using Aboriginal place names of the places around Brisbane as a way of kind of exploring the weather. And I love this idea of that what sounds like a very popular music of the time, everything is an original song. And every moment there's this sense of saying, oh, that's about us. Whereas a lot of the music of the period was about somewhere else. We imported from America or from the UK a lot of music. And it's this wonderful clash of beautiful toe tappers and great things to dance to with lyrics that talk about us. From, you know, there's another song called Let It Rain, which talks about the rain falling on the sugar cane and the mango trees. And you go, yeah, that's all about us. And I love that. When you have something that's Australian, when you have something that's about us, the audience recognizes themselves on stage as well.
Wow, that's wonderful. And that character sounds like the big and strong matriarchal, you know, strong woman who really commands respect and is listened to. She's the one who you look up to and listen to.
And be careful, because she'll flog you too.
Now, last question. After Sydney, will you bring this to Melbourne?
You know, this show, which is touring around and has been touring for almost a year, it goes to where it's invited. If it's going to come to Melbourne, it's because someone there has invited it to come. It's gone to Geelong and Frankston. So it's got close to the inner city of Melbourne, but it hasn't got to be invited to Melbourne yet. And it's one of those things you go, it's something that it's a bigger question about what's going on in this country, about how we make spaces for new stories and new ways of seeing. And we have to, I don't know, we have to keep an eye out for things. So I hope it can come to Melbourne. If someone's listening out there who wants to bring the Sunshine Club to Melbourne, give us a call. We're touring and we can definitely fit you in.
We'll put the word out there to our listeners to make some noise so we can get this groundbreaking musical to NAMM. Wesley Enoch, thank you very much for taking the time to share with us the story of your landmark musical, the Sunshine Club, and its return to Sydney and other places around the country. It's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.